Welcome back to Ponderosa Ponderers. We appreciate you guys tuning in again. As always, Rockwell Peterson here with
Isaac Wilhelmy.
And today in the studio, we got our two good friends.
Liam Yantis.
I'm Eric Wesselick.
Awesome. Well, now that introductions are out of the way, we're going to cover our second topic for our second episode. We're going to be talking today about pre- and post-world coronavirus and how we think this coronavirus outbreak will affect the world going forwards. Do some comparisons, you know, from how the world was before and how we think it's going to be and what we'd like to see happen as compared to what will probably happen. So to start with this, I want to get the newcomers' thoughts. So your thoughts on this general concept, Liam?
I just want to touch up. I think our governor, we're in South Dakota, and our governor, I think, is doing a great job by not establishing a stay-at-home order, first of all, especially because they say the peak is supposed to be mid-late August, you know, and I'm just thinking, well, why not get it done beforehand rather than afterhand? And so I just love what our state government's doing and the action they're taking.
Absolutely.
And I just, it's good for the environment so far. Like, it's showing all the carbon emissions and stuff going down. And yeah, I think we just got to keep it positive, look at the positive this outbreak is doing, and just, keep
Not to mention, they said that we are going to peak in June at first here in South Dakota. So I don't think we're ever going to actually peak. I think we're just kind of over it already, unless something really, really bad happens. Like, I don't know, the entirety of Sioux Falls comes here for some reason.
It's just fluctuating really bad.
So, Eric, my man.
Yeah, so for me, many people compare this to like the tragedy of 9/11 and how that kind of brought everyone together. And I'm worried that because of how our political climate is right now, that actually we might be growing further apart.
That's fair. That's fair. What I'm noticing personally, to build off that, is you're right. It is both polarizing and uniting, because I'm noticing that the polar extremes of the right and left are growing farther and farther apart, whereas everyone kind of in the middle, which is a majority of people, are actually growing closer together. So I think we're going to see more of a movement away from the traditional parties that we have than is already happening. Because at least what I believe is going to happen is we're going to see a much more authoritarian world once we get done with this coronavirus. And I don't think a lot of people are going to be okay with that. You know, because these politicians are going to realize how easy it is to take all this control away from us.
Right.
To make us stay at home, to survey us with drones, to take helicopters and chase us off of beaches. Like, the mayor of an Italian city that's going around screaming profanities at people with a drone? Don't get me wrong, that's hilarious, but it's still government surveillance with a drone.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up.
Exactly. So we've gotten three of the four thoughts here. What are your thoughts about this topic to start off with before we get in depth?
Yeah, so COVID-19, coronavirus, I believe, like, I like it. I know it's fatal, it spreads super fast, but it has dropped the economy, which I believe needed to happen. I believe the economy needed a drop to build itself up better than it was. And, like Liam said, the environment, the canals in Italy are clearer. The atmosphere is cleaner, and it's all great for the world and the economy.
I think I saw in an article now, mind you, we are teenagers just talking about this. This is meant to be our honest thoughts, so not everything may be factual. Some of it may be hearsay, just putting in that disclaimer. But I did hear that the large ozone layer over Australia and Antarctica has actually closed because of this. Because carbon emissions have dropped so much that it's had that time to recover. So, honestly, I'd like to propose, you know, a month every year where we just social distance and we let the environment recover and everyone, you know, stays home with their families, rebuilding that family unit a bit, and just kind of getting that rest and relaxation that we're missing a lot in our modern society, because I think it's great that people work so hard. I love work. You know, it's one of my favorite things, but I do think that we're losing the ability to relax. I know I am.
Yeah.
And so I think it'd be very, very helpful to have that opportunity built into our world and our society to not only deal with the climate crisis that's approaching, but also to help us psychologically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not to mention those two, the, like, families. Families are coming closer together, and if you do that whole month of isolation,
yeah,
it'll be really beneficial for families.
Oh, I definitely think so. And not just necessarily that families, but us as a society, you know, us psychologically, I think would benefit greatly from this. Because we've been looking for ways to fix this crisis, and I think one has just been dropped into our lap. And
what do you mean by that?
So when dealing with the climate, we've been looking at all these different options, you know, changing coal workers over to clean energy workers when they don't necessarily want to change, you know, and changing these industries that would put a lot of people out of business and moving money around into things that, you know, wind turbines actually kill a lot of birds and get shut down a lot for how many birds they kill.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good alternative, don't get me wrong, but we need to weigh the pros and cons and can't say that everything is black and white, neither good or evil. Everything has its pros and cons, and we need to weigh them carefully in what we do and how we do these things moving forward. And so I think it's been dropped into our lap, this ability to social distance and see all the positive effects from it in such a short time. I mean, I think Chernobyl's a great example of just taking humans out of the environment for a bit is really good for the environment. Yeah. Like, humans are worse than a nuclear bomb for the environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't forget, you guys are welcome to hop in at any time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Man, I heard you reference Crowder in your last podcast.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a big, like, he's a big role model for us.
Absolutely. You know? He's absolutely.
He's a younger guy who us young conservatives can look up to. And I just watched a video on him. And again, with the carbon emissions, he showed all the big cities and the dark blue on the map were all the heavy emission areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like 2 weeks into this coronavirus, you see them just getting lighter and lighter blue. And it's incredible how just in 2 weeks, just like you said, taking humans out of the environment and it improves. And then the environment comes better for us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really beautiful.
Oh,
think about it.
Absolutely. I mean, these so-called irreversible effects have been reversed in 2 weeks. We just haven't considered changing our own society and our daily schedules.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know about you, but I'm actually kind of enjoying this social distancing because I'm hanging out with the boys. I'm having a good time. It's basically like summer came early.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the weird things, though, I always hear people say online, like, oh, we're the disease. And, like, it's kind of a cliche thing to say, but
absolutely,
it is true to a degree, and I do believe that we should cut down on carbon emissions or whatever. Exactly how, there's a lot of ways we can do that. Use that social distancing is a great way to do it. I know a lot of people in America are not going to be happy about it. Just, I mean, look at the people, like, I don't know where they are, but there's a whole bunch of riots about this sort of thing, and it just makes no sense to me that they're rioting in the streets about us just trying to protect the elderly mainly, and other people from getting the disease, so that we don't spread it too much or kill too many people when they're gathering in groups, saying, oh, I don't want to do this.
You know, it's crazy to me that we've come to a point in our society where we can protest a virus. These people are protesting a virus.
Are we talking about the protests in, like, Michigan?
I think so.
I believe so, yeah.
They're, like, stopping traffic and, like, bombarding the Capitol. And that's with the stay-at-home order that the government, issued. They're just mad because they have to stay at home. Which goes back to my point. It's like, I love how our governor didn't issue a stay-at-home order. I think it just delays the inevitable. It prolongs the bad stuff that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And
I understand to some degree what they're trying to do, because they don't want to overwhelm hospitals. But we've also completely overestimated, because we've been given bad information by WHO as to how bad that spike's going to be. And so I truly believe that what we need to do is debase the central government's power a bit, because I think that the states can react better than the central government as a whole, because we are such a large and diverse nation with so many different people, so many different cultures in it, which is amazing. I love America, I love our nation, and I love everyone in it, but the things that we need to do moving forwards is realize that our differences are what makes us strong, and allow more power to go to local government, that of which can be faster and respond better to what's going on. You know, because the response here in South Dakota is going to be much different than the response in New York. Mm-hmm. Because we have 500,000 people here, and they got 14 million people in one city there. Mm-hmm. You know, our hospitals here could probably store half the state. Mm-hmm. Their hospitals there can store about maybe 5%. Mm-hmm. So I get why they're doing stay-at-home orders in some of those states, but I do definitely agree with your point on kudos to Nome for not doing a stay-at-home order here in South Dakota. Because in Rapid City, we've proven it wasn't necessary.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So when you look a few days back, when it was really nice out, like no wind, just like 70 degrees, went down to the park, and then we see, like, I was driving by, I saw a group of 5 bikers just drive by, and then cars flooding the streets, which we haven't seen in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in months. And so I'm just driving around seeing a whole bunch of people just enjoying the weather, and I believe I would have heard about a spike in coronavirus cases if that would have happened. If any time, that's when it would happen. Because everyone's out getting food or hanging out at parks or doing whatever. If there was going to be a spike, it's rapid, it was going to be then.
Yeah.
But we have shown as a state that we're not as much of as a threat to everyone compared to like somewhere like New York.
Yeah, because absolutely.
If everyone else went on the streets, which is probably impossible for the size of New York and the number of people, but if many of the people started rushing the streets and just hanging out, there probably would have been a spike there.
Absolutely. I think part of it is definitely we're so used to living far apart from each other anyway. Mm-hmm. And technically our cases here in Rapid City are zero, because we have 11 cases. Mm-hmm. 10 have recovered already, and one has died. Well, do the math.
it's not gonna spread well then.
Yeah, that's I don't know if zero can turn into 400.
There may be some rogue case of some guy who touched the doorknob and the coronavirus is still living there, or someone we don't know yet, but right now we have not seen anything.
Yeah. That's what sucks about it. You can have it for 2 weeks or whatever without showing symptoms.
Exactly.
And like that's when it's gonna spread.
Yeah. I think it's 5 days. It develops, and then you're going to be sick for 2 weeks with it, and then you're done.
Yeah, and some people don't even show anything, and they have it.
Yeah, absolutely. Spread it. It's interesting, because a cruise ship got it. Did you guys hear about this?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, the cruise ship.
Like the first one in America.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the cruise ship got it, so they quarantined the entire boat. So 1,000 people got it. Mind you, I think only, 26 people died. Mm-hmm. 20% of the people who got it were asymptomatic, so that means no symptoms, and the other 80% had mild symptoms.
Yeah. Those odds are, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you look at the odds in the whole world, it's not bad at all.
No.
It just spreads fast, and that's why everybody's freaking out about it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting to me, because if you look at the cases, if you look at the numbers, we, as a group, as we've already said, definitely look up to Steven Crowder, and I pull some of these statistics from his show. And if we make it big at all, we'd love to have a conversation with Crowder.
Oh yeah,
oh my gosh,
that would be amazing. That would be just a dream come true.
Incredible.
That'd be amazing. But regardless, if you look at the numbers, especially in New York, the doctors there are allowed to have discretion in labeling it a coronavirus death. So they don't need to prove that the person actually died from corona. So if they got in a car accident, came in bleeding, but were found to maybe have corona, maybe, then it would be labeled as a coronavirus death. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they have also, if you look, the flu deaths and pneumonia deaths are zero right now, which means any sort of flu or pneumonia death is being labeled as a coronavirus death, which is going to greatly impact those numbers. Because if you take away the flu deaths and the pneumonia deaths that come with a normal year, the numbers of deaths in New York from coronavirus, we're truly looking at just a bad flu season number.
Yeah.
And the survival rate of people of our age who are young and healthy is surprisingly good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you have someone like me, who's diabetic. But it's still, it's not...
Yeah, it is
scary.
No.
Like, you just don't...
For a majority of people, you'll never know. Or it'll be a mild cough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So moving forward, do we want to talk about pre-coronavirus?
Absolutely.
And compare and contrast that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you guys know, there's not a whole lot of drone surveillance from the government right now, at least not in the open that they're openly admitting. But now,
birds.
I think we're going to see more of that. Well, China actually is using drones disguised as birds now.
Wow.
Yeah. No.
I did not know that.
I saw it in an article. It's actually happening now. It's actually happening now.
Dang.
That's messed up.
That is messed up. That's brutal. That would scare the crap out of me.
I do find something funny in it, because I'm just imagining them, like, piloting these drone birds, like, trying to make them look natural, so occasionally they just, like, run one into your window and have it fall down, just to, like, convince you that it's an actual bird.
Yeah. Or it just glitches and just blows up.
Yeah. Look at those things. I pulled one up on my phone. Look at,
yep.
Like, those things,
yep,
look scary,
yep,
as heck.
They actually exist.
They look like fat seagulls.
You want to read off the source for us?
Yeah, why not? Let's see. Mirror.co.uk. I don't know.
Okay, let's see if we can find
a
more,
better one.
Yeah, more reputable one.
Business Insider?
Business Insider is actually a pretty reputable source,
yeah,
for it. But, yeah, so it is actually happening. Wow. And I think that's a good example of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of riots and protests already, so I think we can see a big divide in the nation coming up for this election.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's going to be a big pre-post-world thing, to see how the voting blocks change, how people's opinions change. And I think we're going to see the news be discredited even more than they already have been. Because you see these people trying so, so hard to take any angle they can to take down Trump, that I think people are starting to finally realize that no matter what Trump does, the media is going to paint him as a villain. And CNN is not airing his live press viewings to the citizens, to you guys, to us, no one. But they'll interpret it and use numbers that they got from his speech to then insult him,
yeah,
and
wow,
raise a panic.
It's just, it's sad.
It really is.
Like, we go from the best economy, like, we've ever had.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
To Trump, who's been dealt a crap hand with this virus thing.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Not his fault by
no.
any means. The economy is going down. Not his fault. Right? But I think it's going to personally help him out when this thing's all over and he just starts kicking ass again. You know?
Well, mind you, he's kicking ass right now.
Yeah.
There hasn't
yeah.
been a single Biden appearance. Mm-hmm. His approval rating numbers are actually through the roof right now.
Yeah.
Like, through the roof.
And I believe they'll only get higher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I believe that him being in office, him getting reelected in 2020, will help the economy even more.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at it, the average median household income of everyone across the U.S. went up by $4,000 in the 3 years that Trump has been president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to know how high it went up over Obama's 8 years?
How much?
$1,000.
Damn.
Over 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he quadrupled the economic gains.
In less than half the time.
In less than half the time.
Damn.
in almost a fourth of the time. Which is why I think that Trump is great for the economy. Now, don't get me wrong. He says some things I don't always agree with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I just take it as a joke and laugh it off, you know? Because it is pretty funny at times, but he's not always the best with words, but when you look at what he's done for this economy, which is what he promised to do, he has followed through. And if he continues doing this, I'd be happy to continue seeing him in office.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do you guys want to happen after Corona?
What I would want to happen is more of a unity between parties. Because me personally, I don't like the Democratic or the Republican Party. I think both of them are going insane. Mm-hmm. I think they have been for the past, I don't know, probably 20 years. Reagan was probably a huge jump for when things started to go bad. And Clinton, Reagan, and that started everything. And then Obama came into presidency. He was very polarizing. And then Trump got into office, and he was even more polarizing. So I'm hoping that no matter what president we get this next election, that either way, there will still be some support from each side of the party, because neither groups of parties are looking at each other as people, looking at each other as parties.
Absolutely.
And I feel like if it is possible, we can start to unify during this coronavirus and actually like start to understand each other's perspectives, because there's people who want to be free and have that right to walk on the city. Well, I believe if it gets bad enough in a city, there should be a lockdown. Because if it gets incredibly terrible, then that should be a last resort. But there is a good point coming from them that we need to have our freedoms allowed to give to us. Because if we're all taken away, then we become very authoritarian. And that could lead to actually what people are calling Trump a dictator. Because we don't know what's going to happen when the federal government has more power. So I'm just worried that we are going to actually split more apart. And have more people wanting to be more, I guess... Surveyed? Is that the right word?
Under surveillance.
Under surveillance, yeah. Because they're afraid of what may happen again, like if we have another pandemic, because it's going to be stuck in our minds for a long time. We're going to be telling our kids about this in 20, 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
So, I feel like if we do not decide to unite together as a group, as a country, then we're going to have people who want to be more protected, but lose their freedom, but more people who want to be free, but also lose protection. Because there always needs to be a healthy balance between those two. And I hope that we do come together so that we have a nice balance of being protected by a government, but also being able to do what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I think... Did you mean Reagan or Bush?
I think I meant Bush.
I think you meant Bush. I was like Reagan to Clinton is a big jump in time. Whoa.
Me and Rocky looked at each other a little funny.
Yeah, I meant Bush.
We're just going to take Bush out of the picture here, guys. Disclaimer here, Bush no longer exists. But no, you definitely make some good points. And I think part of any differences that we may have on that comes from worldview. You know what I mean? And that's what I found has been the root to a lot of disagreements. And so, your worldview, you're welcome to correct me if I'm wrong, but seems to be that there needs to be a balance between freedom and protection, and that would be ideal. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. My worldview is that freedom is the best protection. Because I don't trust other people to always have my best interest in mind while protecting me. I view it like having a semi-rabid pit bull. You know what I mean? Where it will protect you. And if anything approaching you tries to seriously hurt you, it will protect you and hurt whatever's trying to hurt you. But you never know if it's going to suddenly turn and attack you.
Yeah.
And I'm not calling out pit bulls specifically. I'm just saying a dog type. That he's capable of hurting me.
Mm-hmm. Which are all dogs. Are
pretty much. Well, Chihuahua.
I love pit bulls. I love pit bulls.
I'm like, I said that. I'm like, God, I love pit bulls, though. Time out. Yeah. But no, Chihuahuas, I do not believe could hurt me.
Yeah,
not. Dachshunds, I do not believe could hurt me. But that's a discussion for another time.
Besides, I had a Shih Tzu bite me. It hurt. It hurt pretty bad.
But yeah, no, you definitely make some interesting points. I just wanted to point out a difference in our worldviews there, for the interest of a discussion and a better understanding of each other.
Then my only issue with that is that I prefer having a nice balance between being protected and being free, because if you go either one way, you're free, you get anarchy. You go protected, you get authoritarianism, or whatever you want to call it. And the reason why I want to balance is because, well, first of all, we are humans. We make mistakes.
Yeah.
So either way, there's going to be a mistake that happens. I just believe if there's more of a balance between the two, then the protection is not going to be overprotective, and the freedom is not going to allow us to do too many things, because you go complete freedom, no laws, chaos in the streets. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But then you get a little protection in there, stopping, talking about the basic laws of America, you know, like don't kill, don't rape, don't steal. So we get some of that, but also we need people to enforce it. So then we need the police or military or whatever to help that. But then you also have the people who are at home and doing stuff that is not always seen. So I'm not saying we should have cameras in houses. That's too far for me. But if there is, you know, like just like people just being aware and being helpful to other people to protect them, that's where I think we should be. Because we don't want people constantly looking at us, of course. Mm-hmm. But we need to have an awareness around each other. And, like, accountability. That's mainly what it's about. It's an accountability to make sure that we will stay good. It's like a lock. Like, say a lock on a bike. Most of the time, a lock on a bike's not going to stop the criminal. They get a pair of,
Bolt cutters.
And most of your bikes can be gone. It's to keep the good people good and keep maybe stop the bad people. But it's mostly just to keep the good people good. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, if, let's say we were in a more darker world where people commit more crimes, if there someone just leaves a bike out, there's going to be a decent amount of people who would want to steal the bike. I was definitely saying, there's probably like one or two, mainly, that you put a bike out in New York. But, like, we need to keep the people accountable so that we can actually be safe from each other. Because not everyone can, because, like, think about it. You, Rockwell, if you run into people, five guys with all handguns, the odds of you getting out of that situation is low. If you're trapped in a corner with five handguns...
Time out. I'm trying. I appreciate the compliments. You heard it here, guys. I can beat five guys with handguns by myself. Please don't try it, though. Please, dear God, don't try that. But no, I'm trying to understand the logical jump there from what you were like. I was following you there up until you jumped to me cornered there with a bunch of guns pointed at me.
Yeah.
Like, I was following your bike analogy, but I think there's a disagreement here, more because of miscommunication. Mm-hmm. So, I think we need to define what protection is and what freedom is to us.
Yeah.
Because I think that freedom, at least in the case of what we're talking about, is the explicit act of the laws protecting the people who own the item, not the people who are attempting to take or damage the item. So, for example, in England, a bunch of homeowners were asked to remove pools from their yards because home invaders might slip and drown in them while trying to break into the houses.
Yeah.
There is a man here in the U.S., who is being put on trial for homicide. And you can go see the video. You can go see the video. Where these two guys, dressed as like handyman repair guys, force their way into his house where his family is sitting there. So his wife and two kids are sitting there. It's 4 p.m. Broad daylight out. These people knock on the door. He opens it. They force their way in. You see him take one of the guys, throw him out of his house, beat on him till he runs away, run back inside, and you start hearing gunshots. It turns out that the other robber pulled a gun and was holding his family at gunpoint. So the man grabs his wife's gun out of her purse and defended his family by killing the man after a shootout in the living room in front of his family. Now, that man is being put on charge, put on trial, and is charged with homicide. I cannot live in a world, I cannot be comfortable with a world where that can happen, and the man who broke into your house and held your family at gunpoint has more rights than you do.
And that's why, we are conservative.
Yeah, I cannot agree with that. I think the second that you break into my house, you have lost all rights. You have lost all rights the second that you break into my house.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Exactly.
Like, the second that you trespass, I can prove you're trespassing, and it's self-defense of me and my family. Then you have lost all rights.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Now, I hope that he gets off that charge. Mm-hmm. I really do. My heart goes out to that man and his family.
Yeah. All right. Liam, do you have any preference on what you want to see after the coronavirus?
Yeah, let me just point out, if any of you guys are worried about us, like, social distancing or anything, we just all lathered up with hand sanitizer, so we're fine. Oh, yeah,
that's true.
Also,
bathing in it.
Bathing, just flooding. Yeah. Going back to what Rocky said, just after this time, I feel like we're going to be, just the mindset of everyone is, we're going to be relying on the government a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm with Rocky on the fact that I want the state government to step up, mm-hmm. and be, if we're looking to a government, be the ones that we're looking up to. It's like our state government, because they can help us faster, they can be there, they can help us the best.
And they're the people that we chose.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And I know there's going to be some, like, big government, federal government, like, helping and doing what they can. I don't think their intent's going to be malicious after this whole thing. But it's just going to be a lot easier, especially for states like South Dakota, us Midwest states, if our state government is stepping up. And I'm sure they will. I have no doubt in my mind that they're going to be helping us out, and we're going to get through this just fine.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely agree. Like I said, I'm not advocating for the complete dismantling of a central government.
Yeah.
I just think that some of the power should be given more to the states.
Exactly.
Because mm-hmm. I've noticed over the years the federal government has been taking more and more power from the states, and I think we need to start reversing that. And I honestly think the trend with decriminalizing and legalizing weed state by state, denying, you know, national law, federal law, is a step in the right direction. You know, a step in the right direction of states taking back their personal rights as given by the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this?
Oh.
What do you want to see pre-post, Isaac?
Yeah. So what I want to see is, I'm a big family man, so just more unity in family. Like I said last podcast, our families aren't as good as they should be.
Yeah.
Our family structure. So just a better unity in family, relationship, and friendships. Because nowadays, you can't really rely on anybody. So, secondly, I'm a big finance man. So, what I want to see is that they don't mess up money and the finances and the stocks and the economy like they have done in the past. After a recession or a crisis, they've messed them up. And I just want to see them make it better and not mess it up again.
Absolutely.
I absolutely love how you brought family into this, because it's big. Like, what is it? A big percentage of families are, like, seeing each other face to face at meals now.
Yeah.
It's like insane.
Oh yeah. And no one says you have to get along with your family all the time. I get it.
No.
Yeah, I get it. It's tough, but you still got to know them. You still got to be there. You're still family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, above all else, you're still family.
And they're going to be there for you for your life, because, I mean, they kind of have to.
Yeah, stuck.
Yeah, they don't have a choice. You're stuck with them just as much as they're stuck with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All
right. But yeah. Well, unless there's anything else you guys want to say, I want to thank you boys for joining us in the studio here today.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having us.
We hope to have you back here soon.
Of course.
As always, it's been a pleasure. And just keep on pondering out here with the Ponderosas. We'll catch you. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for watching.
Have a good one.
Listening.